Hi, this is Larry Grossman, and welcome back to You Can Bet On It. A few weeks ago, we had on Victor Royer, and we were talking generally about the casino games. He's a very popular gaming author, and he's written many books, among them Powerful Profit Series, one about slots, one about video poker, another one about craps, another one about blackjack, and also Casino Gamble Talk, the language of gambling and new casino games. Welcome back to the show, Victor.
Good afternoon, Larry. Thank you very much for having me back.
It's a pleasure. One of the games that people are very interested in and looks easier to play, perhaps, than it really is blackjack. And I want to talk about this game in particular today. And it was the most popular game in the casino for many, many years. Now, of course, video poker has taken over the world. But prior to that, people would go in the casinos and they would wait to get a seat at a blackjack table. What's going on in the world of blackjack?
Well, you are quite correct. Blackjack was for a very long time the main staple of the casino industry. Actually, blackjack became very popular around 1962. That was the time that the book Beat the Dealer by Edward O. Thorpe was first published. And now Thorpe was the first one to be able to put out a book that actually contained a workable strategy based on the single deck blackjack games which were being dealt at the time. And that proved, mathematically, that the game could be beaten with skill.
Now, let me stop you there for people that don't know the history of it. In the beginning, when that book first came out, it really was a revelation to a lot of people. And the casinos were a step or two behind because they saw all these systems come and go and people saying that they could beat the blackjack tables, and they never could. And in the very beginning, when that book came out and when people were applying that, the casinos could care less. They were kind of laughing about it. But then, over a period of time, they saw the success of Thorpe and other people like him, Kenny Houston, another one, and all of a sudden they started putting some changes in there to combat against it. Is that pretty much the way it went?
That's pretty much the way it went. In the golden age of Nevada gambling in the 40s and 50s, blackjack games were largely dealt from a single deck, dealt all the way down. And there were many people who developed the first rudimentary card counting techniques at the time, and they were beating the casinos fairly successfully. But the game did not reach national popularity until after Thorpe put it in a book whereby he could put what he called a 10 count. And I mentioned that briefly in my book, Powerful Profits from Blackjack. And it was not until a little bit later when mathematician Julian Brown, who worked for IBM, fully quantified the game of blackjack and came up with a series of standard decisions based upon the dealer's up card. And that became what is now called the basic strategy for blackjack. And it was at that time that the major public was able to grasp an easy to learn and easy to play method of blackjack games. And it was around those times, between 1962 and about 1969, that the casinos began to feel the pinch. And what they did is they began to combat these perceived player skills by introducing things like the cut card, the frequent shuffle, and the what is now called penetration in the deck, and that is where the shuffle card is placed and where the next shuffle will take place. And what that did is had the effect of taking certain cards out of the deck, and therefore made those strategies at the time not nearly as effective as they had been. Of course, this also led to the development of various card counting techniques, such as the very famous plus-minus count, which is also called a high-low count, and the various other derivatives of those, many of which I mentioned in my book.
Let me ask you about the many decks that they use now. There was the single decks, and then there was two decks, and then four decks, and then six decks. And for the not sophisticated player, let's say a person knows basic strategy, not a card counter, knows what to do. There might be a couple of hands during the course of the shuffle that might confuse them a little bit, whether to hit a two against the dealer's up card two, etc. But they know the basic strategy pretty much. Does it matter to that individual whether they're playing single deck or four deck?
It matters more to the card counter and to the skilled player. The casual player mostly plays on what's called a hunch plays, and that is, do I feel lucky or do I not feel lucky? It does, however, affect them if they know at least what is called basic strategy, which is published in just about every book on blackjack that has been published since the late 1960s. And what that does, it's a standardized series of decisions as to what to do. For example, in the when you mentioned the hitting a 12 against the dealer's up card of 2, well, the basic strategy says to hit it.
Right.
And if the player knows that this is part of the basic strategy, well, then the difference between 2 decks and 4 decks isn't that much. And the difference between 4 decks and 6 decks isn't that much. Although it does mathematically increase the house edge, overall, the game of blackjack, when played perfectly with basic strategy, can be played to about a 0.5% house edge, which is almost an even game. And that's why the game is so popular for both the player and the casinos. Because players feel like they have a chance, that it's a skill-based game, and the casinos still know that even those players that have these skills may not be able to actually perform to that perfection level once they get into the casino with all the distractions that are part of the experience, and therefore the average game can still hold anywhere between 3 and 6% for the house.
One of the things that many people in the blackjack community are really down on, and I'm not talking about the tourists coming in, because they'll play no matter what, because they enjoy the game, and that's what they came here for. But many of the people in the blackjack community are up in arms about the changing of the rule of 1.5 to 1 on blackjacks.
That's right. That's the latest technique that the casinos are employing in some casinos to combat what they consider to be the player's perceived advantage. And as most people will know, blackjack pays 3 to 2, which is a natural blackjack, which is 1.5 to 1, as you mentioned. What the casinos have been doing lately in some games is to reduce those pays to 6 to 5. Just to give you an example, basically, if you bet 2 red chips, which is $10, and you were going to get a natural blackjack and you win the hand against the dealer, well, you would get $15 back.
Right, 3 to 2.
Which is 3 to 2. However, at 6 to 5, you will only get back $12. So you're giving the casino $3 for that wager, for that hit, for absolutely nothing. And that has the effect of substantially increasing the house edge and the household on the games.
What was the thinking behind that? Obviously, they were, you know, the profits, etc. But beyond that, what was the thinking on that? Was it that, hey, we can just slip this by and nobody's going to notice? Because I just don't understand why they even instituted that, to be honest with you.
Well, casinos are a business, as we all know, and the multi-billion dollar casinos are not built upon winners. And the sad fact, I guess, for table games has been, as far as the casinos are concerned, that between around 1984 and 2003, most of the majority of casinos' profits have come from slot machines and electronic gaming, where back about 20 years ago, it was the other way around. It came from the pit, the blackjack games.
Before we run out of time, I want to clarify all this. The casino would not be a casino unless they had live games. I mean, a casino needs a blackjack tables, they need craps tables, they need that general excitement within the casinos. I mean, you know, it would be very easy to just make the entire casino slot machines, and they would probably generate a lot of profit, but it wouldn't be, or realistically, it wouldn't be a casino, it wouldn't have that feel to it, it would just be a bunch of people playing off by themselves, and that would be it. Is that the future of gaming as we know it? Let's say 20 years in the future, we're going to say, hey, you know, why should we even hire people to deal and do all this and have to get them health programs and all this kind of stuff? We just have slot machines. We know they're going to pay this much each day, and we don't need that.
Well, the casino is all about the gaming experience, and if casinos were to take out all of the table games or to substantially alter the rules of game for games like blackjack, such as the playing
7.5 to 5.
That's right. What that would do is reduce the casinos into a mere video arcade.
Yes.
And that would no longer be the overall casino gaming experience, and those casinos would no longer be destination resorts. They would basically be a hotel, a pool, a showroom, and a video arcade. state, and that's not a casino. And that's why I think that the future of gaming will depend very largely on the success of table games, and that's why I think it's a very bad idea that casinos pay 6-5 instead of 3-2.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the future of gaming. We have one of these blackjack books we're going to give out, and Victor has kindly autographed it for us, so we'll do that in just a minute. The future of gaming, there is something to be said about poker making a huge comeback this past 24 months. Do you see the future of craps and blackjack and those kind of games sort of having a renewal in the near future? Because a lot of people that were playing these games were veterans of Second World War, and they used to play it then, and they brought it back, and it was very popular. It seems like a dying kind of art.
Blackjack came into the United States with the veterans of World War I, and craps came to the United States casinos mainstays from the veterans of World War II. And as these veterans have began to age, and a new crop of players that grew up on arcade games and computer games, that has fueled the popularity of electronic gaming. But I think that definitely the popularity of table games should gain a significant boost from the popularity of poker, which has now been placed firmly on one of the most watched shows on television. In fact, even the Fox Network is now going to broadcast the poker finals from Atlantic City. And I think that that will have a definite effect on the popularity of table games.
Okay, Victor, we're going to have you back a bunch more times, because I truly am a believer in keeping the games like craps and blackjack and the rest of them alive in the casinos. I think it just really makes the casinos a special place.